My goal is to be as deliberate and non-reflexive as possible. Andrew Huberman. Hey guys, welcome to 7 Days of Dopamine. I'm your host, Nirvana Nokwe, and I get hits of dopamine when I feel heard and when I understand things pertaining to my brain. So this podcast definitely makes sense. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am just so grateful that we're able to engage, pay attention, research, learn more about ourselves and each other. And I think learning more about ourselves and each other enables huge amounts of compassion to be liberated, or huge capacity for compassion, because everybody knows what the hell's going on. So yeah, yesterday we spoke about EDMR, which is eye movement, and the relationship eye movement has to the amygdala, which we know is associated with fear. And so if you didn't listen to that episode, please do. Very casual, fun-loving, and very casual, fun-loving episode with just a little bit of a neuro hack towards the end. And basically, I'll relay it again, which is, when you're feeling stressed, just try this out. It's gonna work. When you are re-triggered, let's say, when there is an element of re-traumatization that you're experiencing, it's very beneficial to look right and left. Yeah, just looking right and left. As though, you know, when you're running, when you're walking, you see how quick your eye movements are? So that's the same thing that we're trying to get, the same effect. And so the eyes are an extension of the brain. The eyes are a part of the brain. And this, it's fantastic because it makes sense. It makes total sense, and I think we'll get into more of how and why in the coming episodes, but I promised that today we would speak about breath work. And so we're gonna get into the workings of breathing and how it pertains to our state of mind. So something super, super fun that I discovered through watching interviews on neuroscience from a neuroscientist, a really great guy called Andrew Huberman, and he was on this YouTube channel called The School of Greatness with Lewis. And so, you know, he explained a lot of things that made so much sense, and I didn't know. Do you get what I mean? Like, sometimes you experience things you intuitively know, and I feel like I'm sounding like a broken record because I'm gonna use this example that I used yesterday, which is of not every Black person is an expert on race. We may be able to account for our personal experiences, but not all of us are, you know, not all of us are experts. And so, yeah, it can be very empowering coming across knowledge to empower you in that way, to understand and be able to identify and articulate the new, like, the subtleties of violence. And so now we are in an age where information is so accessible to us that we're able to encounter, you know, come across, engage with knowledge that can empower us to be able to identify and articulate and be aware of behaviors and causes and effects that happen in our bodies. Fantastic. This is like an amazing evolutionary advantage, because we're gonna get better and we're gonna transcend, and I'm already seeing it happen. So, neuroscience of breathing, let's go. There is a connection between, so first of all, there's parts of the brain, right? There's departments of the brain that control breathing, right? These brain centers have a direct connection with this organ that's made of muscle called the diaphragm. The reason I'm mentioning that the diaphragm is made of muscle, because, you know, muscles are things that we can contract and relax, right? Our biceps are, and they can strengthen according to how much we exercise or utilize those muscles. So this is the only organ in the body
that you can contract and relax, like, it's fantastic. And when I think about my mom, oh goodness, guys, oh my goodness, when I think about my mom, I'm just like, the more I study neuroscience, the more I'm just like, my mom is so cool. No, because she really is. She's so cool because she understood the value of these things. So she may have not been able to, so she may have not utilized the language, the jargon that is utilized in neuroscience, right? But she intuitively understood, number one. And number two, she did her research enough to be able to explain it quite simply to me. I was just very resistant, and also I think my resistance comes from, I don't want to get too much into this, and I think a huge part of my resistance to things is because I think I have an overdose of epinephrine, but I'm going to do more research on that. And epinephrine is, you know, it makes you feel agitated. So every time you do something, every time you exert a certain amount of effort, epinephrine is released, or let me say spent. And so I'm still trying to understand, you know, if there is such a thing as, you know, and I'm sure there is, but like, I know, I hate saying this, I really do, but I know there have been periods of me being attached or addicted to sadness. I don't know why. And I'm getting an understanding of why, but I don't know why. And so my mom would kind of just let me know of these things because she's so smart. She's so cool. And so, and I noticed how calm she was, and also my friends would notice. And I remember there's this guy I was dating. I don't speak to him anymore because he's a perpetrator. But anyway, moving on, there's this guy that I dated, and we were going to a performance in at Sun City. And my mom, my brother was driving us there. Shout out Boot Steve. And my mom was at the back of the car, you know, relaxing. She was extending her legs because she understands the importance of having, you know, your legs extended in an upward position to get blood flow. And she was journaling, and she was so calm, and she was doing her breath work. And then so my partner was there, and his friends were in the car too. And so when we got out of the car, you know, my boyfriend at the time, he said, "Your mom is so calm. She's calm to the point where it's scary." And I get it. Well, I don't get it. I know she's calm, but I'm used to it. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, when you're exposed to an environment, like when you're raised in something, like when you're raised in greatness, greatness pretty much feels normal. And so, and also just to mention, when we're raised in dysfunction feels normal. And I think we need to talk a little bit about love addiction. So I'm not promising to do it tomorrow, but I think I'll do it on the next day. So the day after tomorrow, because tomorrow I want us to understand the workings of dopamine a little better. Anyway, so breath work. So my mom understood intuitively, and it makes total sense. So my mom's a singer, and I think a huge part of her understanding of the importance of breathing for, you know, mental wellness is from her singing techniques. And she always used to tell me about the diaphragm, and how important it is to utilize and strengthen the diaphragm through exercise, through breath work, and just growing breath capacity. Fantastic. So there is a nerve called the phrenic nerve, and this nerve, and the reason why, you know, breath work and the brain and mind states are so strongly connected is because the phrenic nerve connects the brain stems that have to do with breathing to the diaphragm, which is a muscle that you can use at will, right? So you can push in and out your diaphragm right now. You can breathe in and out if you want to as much as you can. There's a lot of things that you can do with your diaphragm. You can strengthen your diaphragm. If you don't strengthen your diaphragm, you can leave it as it is and it'll weaken, but you can still, like, it's got the capacity to contract and relax like every other muscle. It's the only organ that can do that. Fantastic. So now we understand the control we have. Now we understand what we can control in order to bring about and influence other processes so that we can bring about a certain result. Breathing controls our level of alertness. And so the faster we breathe, the more alert we are. The slower we breathe, the more calm we are. Okay? And I'm going to be speaking about physiological size, which is an amazing neurohack that I learned from Andrew Huberman. And so the thing is, how do I put this? The things that happen in our bodies, the hormones that are liberated or that aren't, or that are depleted or that are suffering or that are oppressed, let me say, we experience everything that's going on in our bodies as stress or as calmness or as happiness or as anger, whatever it is, right, guys, or as adrenaline. And it's interesting the relationship that perception has. So you perceive from the inside, but also perception from the outside, and how, like, whatever's going on inside is probably how you're going to perceive the outside world. I don't know if this is making sense. Like, yeah, I think it makes sense. Just think on what I just said. And so, when we have super high levels of carbon dioxide, right, which is a natural part of the breathing process, so oxygen, CO2, breathe in oxygen, release CO2. Okay, cool. When we have high levels of CO2 in our bloodstream, in our system, we experience that as stress, right? And so physiological size is something that, you know, quite naturally happens, quite intuitively or reflexively happens when we're sleeping or when we're sobbing. So when we're sleeping, if you notice, you know, someone who sleeps usually does a like a double inhale and exhale, or someone who's crying, you'll notice, if that makes sense. I hope this is making sense. So the reason this is happening is reflexive, because they need to get out the CO2 in their system so that they can feel calmer. Because right now they've got so much carbon dioxide in their bloodstream that they're experiencing it as stress. So a lot of the time when we try to suppress things, yo, guys, a lot of the times when we're trying to suppress things, we're trying to suppress natural processes that need to happen for our bodily function and wellness. A lot of the times when we try to suppress things, we're suppressing things that are reflexive and important and significant to our bodily function and wellness. I hope this is making sense. And so we want to be able to understand the intricacies of our minds, our bodies, our brains, our if we want to understand how, why, where, and what brings about what effect. Because when we can understand that, we're empowered to, we're empowered with knowledge on how to control ourselves a little better. How to control, do you get what I mean? How to control without controlling. It's really important to learn how to control without controlling. If you understand the natural ebb and flow of things, if you understand the natural highs and lows of life, this is why I love astrology. You know, one of the biggest reasons I love astrology is because it's like a calendar. On Monday, it's going to rain. On Sunday, Mercury's retrograde. You know what it is. I'm going to talk a little bit about Mercury retrograde. I'm not sure if it's going to be in this series, but I definitely want to just do a little podcast on Mercury retrograde in Scorpio, because I need people to understand that, you know, some of the things that we look down upon, there is a science behind it. And I want to say a science behind it because a huge part of science is awareness. So there is an awareness of the natural ebb and flow of things. Okay, we've got 4 minutes, so I'm going to wrap this up. And so I love astrology because it's able to... I love astrology and neuroscience because they're able to articulate really hard concepts to understand. Because I'm in them, because I live them, if this makes sense. So they're really able to, and I'm saying objectify in the sense that they're really able to take me out of myself and observe myself and observe the nature of the times and observe the cause and effect of things. This is why contemplation is so important. Like contemplation and introspection, oh my goodness. Like this is why it's so important. It is so important because we're unable to understand our personal systems. Okay, guys, I think I went on a very passionate tangent, but I'm back now. So the lungs are two bags of air made up of tinier lungs, or not lungs, but sacs called alveoles. And so these alveoles collapse when you're exercising or you're sleeping or high stress like crying. And so when they collapse, CO2 builds up in our system and we experience that as stress. I want to repeat that again. When our alveoles, these sacs of air, collapse, we experience that as stress. And so what physiological sighs enable us to do is to be able to release the CO2 out of our system by popping the alveoles, the sacs of little air, open, pulling out the CO2 and releasing it and bringing in oxygen. So let me say that again. Physiological sighs, the double inhale and exhale, enable us to pop open the little sacs of air called alveoles, bring in oxygen, and then release CO2. And so if you do like 3 or 4 of these and you're feeling really stressed, you're going to feel calmer. You're going to feel a little more relaxed, okay? It's the fastest way to bring yourself into a state of relaxation. And so, of course, there are other things that are practices such as, you know, holotropic breathing, the Wim Hof method. I can't really think of other breathing practices, but those are extremely important because the more you, when you repeatedly expose yourself or expose yourself to the behavior of controlling your breathing, you're going to train your mind to be more relaxed in high stress environments. Another thing about cold showers, take 5 minute cold showers a day. Like do it. There's a reason. There's a reason we have to go to gym. There's a reason, or let me say, there's a reason we have to exert some level of effort that makes us feel uncomfortable, but that strengthens us. So for example, when I say you've got to tear your muscles in order to be able to jump high enough tomorrow, it almost seems nonsensical, but it is quite functional, because working out is essentially tearing your muscles, allowing them to heal whilst supplementing yourself accordingly. And I hope that you're supplementing yourself in the healthiest of ways. And so that enables, you know, that strength. So you'll find, of course, this week you've gone running for 5 days and you're a little stronger. You're just like, oh, okay, I can do 2 more kilometers. Because you're pushing the threshold a little more further every single time you do it. Because yesterday you tore your muscles, today you're healing, tomorrow you have extra muscles to do what you did yesterday and a little more. And that's what we want to be able to do. We want every single day to be a little more of what we did yesterday. And the only ways we can do that is by doing a little today. Because by doing a little today, we increase our capacity to do more tomorrow. Hope this makes sense. So physiological size, I'm just going to do it with you. Double inhale as deep as a breath as you can. One more. I feel fantastic. I think you can hear it in my voice. I think that's about it, guys. Tomorrow, let's talk a little bit about dopamine and epinephrine. Epinephrine, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about how to understand the science behind motivation. Also, how to understand the science behind addiction and behaviors. So yeah, tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit about the cycle of addiction, as well as the neuroscience of feeling good. Feeling as though you can do more. Right? So yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow. I promise. I'm having fun doing this. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope this helped. And also, please make sure to follow me on Twitter at Navana Nokwe. And anything you might want to say or talk about, anything, please hashtag pertaining to this podcast or pertaining to neuroscience, whatever it is. Please hashtag 7, the number 7. So 7 days of dopamine. I'm everywhere. Technically everywhere. I'm not everywhere, but I'm on Twitter and I'm on Instagram. I'm not as active on Facebook. But yeah, you can definitely find me on Twitter and Instagram. And anything that you want to say, I'd love to hear some of your voice notes. So if you're listening to this through Anchor, please make sure to send through voice notes. I just want to be able to engage with you and understand where we're at and how you're feeling about this podcast, as well as the knowledge that, you know, we're delving into to understand ourselves and essentially understand other people and grow our capacity to hold space for people, hold space for ourselves, and also to be quite functional. So thank you so much. I love you. I'll see you soon. Hashtag 7 days of dopamine. And tomorrow we're going to be talking about motivation, adrenaline, as well as the cycle of addiction. Have a blessed day. I love you. Don't forget to pray before you eat. And don't forget to chew before you swallow. I'll see you guys soon. Or I'll talk to you soon. Bye.